the eternal security doctrine. We're Christ's sheep. It's the duty of the shepherd to care for the sheep. And is he a good shepherd? Yes, so that's secure right there. We got the best shepherd ever in the history of the cosmos. If you're one of the Lord's sheep, you always will be his sheep. Eternal life is the gift that God doesn't take back.
On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter says security in the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd is for all eternity.
In fact, I can't picture a greater image of security than you being in the hand of God.
The 23rd Psalm is a reassuring passage portraying the Lord as our shepherd, offering provision, guidance, and protection. Likewise, John chapter 10 reveals Jesus as the good shepherd who willingly lays down his life in sacrificial love for his sheep, promising the hope of eternal security as well. On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter continues a study of John chapter 10.
Well, let's go back to John 10 there, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Could you just note that this is the third time Jesus says his sheep know him? Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and have known of mine, verse 14. And then verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is a common theme that he's gonna say over and over again, that he knows the sheep, that he laid down his life for the sheep. To know Jesus, the good shepherd, and his voice, to know his voice, to know the shepherd is important. Everything else becomes very secondary. The important issue is to know Jesus Christ and to hear his voice. Are you one that can say, just between you and the Lord right now, yes, I know the shepherd, I know his voice, and he knows me? That's kind of an important thing to understand. Does Christ know you? We'll talk about that in a second. But notice how many times we're gonna see this before this chapter's over. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So Jesus is talking about, you know, the sheep and the shepherd and the sheepfold and all this. Up to this point, the Jews would have understood what he was talking about. They would have understood the sheepfold as being Judaism. Judaism, that's the sheepfold, particularly Old Testament before Jesus dies on the cross, is buried and resurrected from the grave. But Jesus says here very interestingly, he says, but there's some other sheep. He's not talking about you guys, the Jews in Jerusalem. He says, there's some other sheep I have which are not of this fold. They shall hear my voice. As opposed to the sheep of Jerusalem, are they hearing the shepherd's voice? No, that's what Jesus, he's saying, I got another fold, there's another sheep that's coming. At least they're gonna hear my voice. You guys don't, but I've got another flock that is, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Instead of two folds, like you guys are one and this other one I'm talking about, there's gonna come a time where it's gonna be one fold, one shepherd, the end. Does anybody wanna take a guess? What's that other sheep he's talking about? Gentiles, halfway right. No, you're right, technically. But the reason I wanna kind of put a word of caution there, because it's Gentiles and who else? Jews. Jews or Gentiles who accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Well, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. This is one of those passages that once again, the Jesus movie sometimes shows Jesus kicking and screaming while they're trying to drag him off to the cross. I don't think that was the case. You know, you picture in the movie, you know, Jesus being drug off, you know, fighting a little bit. No, he didn't fight. He willingly went to the cross. Don't forget that. He laid it down of himself. He has the power to take it up again. We saw that in the resurrection. Well, all that said, verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. The Jews didn't know what to make of all the stuff he's saying. You say, I can't believe Jesus causes division. Well, Jesus said, I am the door. What do doors do? They divide. A door divides. You're either inside the door or outside the door. And so it's no wonder that there's people that are gonna stay on the outside The question is, what are you going to do? Verse 20, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It's a good question, if you ask me. There's some people thinking here, but they're struggling. And by the way, the epitome of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is calling Jesus having a devil. I hope you understand that. That's kind of doctrinally something you should know. Whenever you get to that point, he hath a devil, you're committing the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit at that point. Verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. So, you know, now we're during that Hanukkah festival of lights in Jerusalem during the winter time. And Jesus, by the way, was celebrating Hanukkah. That's kind of an interesting thing. That's why he's there doing that. This is one of Jesus's last real public appearances. After this, he's gonna have to be more covert because they're so out to get him by this time. Verse 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Question, has Jesus already told them all plainly that he is the Christ? Yes. One thing you'll know when you're talking to some people, you can speak plainly and tell them, but they just don't want to hear the truth. So they're gonna keep acting like they don't understand or don't wanna accept it because they just disagree or they choose to reject what you're saying. And that's exactly what they're doing here with Jesus. This is an old tactic. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believed not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. In other words, you don't believe that because you're not one of my sheep. You don't hear my voice. You don't recognize what I'm saying because you're not one of my sheep. It's just that simple. My sheep, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Would you mark this verse? Because this is a good test for yourself. How do you know? There's three marks on your life. If you call yourself a Christian, which I hope you do, according to this, there's a couple things that are sort of a litmus test. First of all, do you hear the voice of the Lord? You might say, well, I don't hear an audible voice. Well, that's okay. But do you hear the voice of the Lord? If you read the Bible and you say, man, this is God's word. I believe this is the word of God. So we're hearing his voice through the word. Check. By the way, the scriptures say that God has the voice of many waters. Ezra 43:2, Revelation 1:15, Revelation 19:6. There's a lot of ways the Lord speaks to his people, but the number one way I think is through the word of God. And that's the one that's most solid and you can't doubt it. Sometimes you can wonder, was that the Lord talking to me in that dream I had last night? Or was that the pizza that I had for dinner? Which one was it? Sometimes you don't know that for sure. But you can measure all of those things that you're hearing up against the word of God and know whether it's true or false. But it's not just knowing his voice and his word, but notice also he knows his sheep. So one of the things, check number one, do you hear his voice? Do you know his word? Do you hear his voice? That's number one. But does Jesus know you personally? You know, a lot of people say, I know Jesus and I made him my personal savior. I know Jesus Christ. But maybe a more important question is, does Jesus know you? That's kind of an important question because he says that. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's number three. The knowing one, do you remember Matthew 7:23? There's gonna be many in the day that'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in your name cast out devils and in your name done wonderful works? And then the Lord Jesus said, but I will profess to them. He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. There's gonna be people who thought they could pull it off. Well, we did a bunch of spiritual, religious stuff. But Jesus is gonna say, get out. I don't know you. I never knew you. So being known is part of the deal. Do you know Jesus and does Jesus know you? And then also, do you follow Jesus? And that's a good indicator. If you're not going around doing your own thing, going astray all the time, but if you're saying, I'm trying my best to follow Jesus. All we like sheep have gone astray. We do that. But eventually, hopefully, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's what you're gonna do, follow him. Does that one make you nervous? Am I following Jesus? Some of you have that eternal security locked in. You're like, man, I'm following Jesus. I know I make mistakes, but I'm good. But there's others of you, some of you are constantly doubting whether you're really saved. And honestly, you're the ones I'm not worried about. I'm worried about the first group I was just talking about. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus and I know the Bible and yeah. Because sometimes those people, they haven't even really thought about it that much. They're the ones that maybe need to work out their salvation with a little bit of fear and trembling. But mostly the people that come and say, Pastor Rod, I'm just worried that I'm not saved. Oh man, I love turning them to John chapter 10. Because John chapter 10 speaks really to eternal security like no other chapter in the Bible, if you ask me. Where do we get that? Well, let's keep reading verse 28. It says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Man, if you're part of Jesus' sheep, and if you went in the door, well, what if I went astray? He goes after the one and leaves the 99. He'll go after you. If you went astray, that's what Jesus does. He's the good shepherd, great shepherd, the chief shepherd, who'll go after you. Some of you did go astray and the Lord pulled you back in because no man can pluck you out of the hand of the Father. Man, I love this. So the eternal security doctrine, which is so important, and I do believe we're Christ's sheep. It's the duty of the shepherd to care for the sheep. And is he a good shepherd? Yes, so that's secure right there. We got the best shepherd ever in the history of the cosmos. And he's your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then eternal security means that the sheep will follow. If you're one of the Lord's sheep, you always will be his sheep. Eternal life is given. It's not by your merit. So you can't be demerited out of eternal life because it's a gift that God doesn't take back. And it says, you know, that they shall never perish. There in verse 28, they shall never perish. Even if Satan himself tries, you won't be able to be plucked out of the hand of the Father. Because greater is he, 1 John 4:4, that is in you than he that is in the world. The hand of the Father, is that a pretty powerful hand? Isaiah 40 verse 12, his hand spans the universe. That's like, he could pat the universe like a little volleyball. That's the universe. That's the hand of God. And no man can pluck you out of that hand. I think that's pretty secure. In fact, I can't picture a greater image of security than you being in the hand of God. And then also the idea that you've been adopted as sons and daughters. I don't ever hear of, you know, you hear this horrible term, unwanted pregnancy. But have you ever heard of the term unwanted adoption? Did God ever say, man, I think I'm gonna unadopt you. Nope, we're adopted sons and daughters. So some of you, you know, might be shaky and kind of feeling like, I don't know if I'm really saved. This is where you can look to for the security that we find in Christ. Now, this is where the Calvinist and the Arminian thinking, you know, once saved, always saved, or you can lose your salvation. Both sides make an interesting point. However, I think neither of them really satisfy what the biblical teaching is. By the way, when people say I'm a Calvinist or I believe in, you know, Arminian type thinking, it sort of reminds me, does it sort of remind you, 1 Corinthians 1:12-15? Now this I say, every one of you saith, I am of Paul or I am of Apollos, I'm of Cephas or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Paul said. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I'm baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. The propensity of the church was to say, we follow Paul, or we follow Apollos, or, you know, is Christ divided? No. It's funny how Calvinism has divided, as long with Arminian-type thinking. Jacobus Arminius, you know, basically trying to decide, can you lose your salvation, or are you eternally secure? It's a complex discussion. It's a fun discussion to have. But I would say this, if you're worried about, well, Brett, I kind of follow the Arminian sort of thinking, I think you could lose your salvation. Well, then I would just say to you, I'm not gonna argue over that. Let's believe in Jesus and follow him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, so you don't have to worry about that, if that's your fear. Because I think if you're following Jesus and he's your shepherd, you're gonna be eternally secure, locked in his hand. Yeah, but Arminian, no. Forget Jacobus Arminian for Calvin, John Calvin for just a second. What did Jesus say here? You're locked into his hand. No man can pluck you out of the hand of the Father. Now, there's other people that come to me, Pastor Brett, I'm a Christian. I was saved by my parents, but I'm saved by grace. So I'm going to go do meth and I'm going to go sleep around with prostitutes and I'm going to do whatever I want to do, not go to church and just kind of party down and do whatever I want. Well, there's other scriptures that I could probably turn you to that I would maybe warn you about, where the Bible kind of says, man, if you're continually practicing sin, that's evidence that maybe you were never really saved to begin with. Like if you're just taking up sin and not a follower of the good shepherd and you're just doing your own thing, I can't say eternal security applies to you. But Brett, aren't you once saved, always saved? I don't know whether you were saved to begin with. Like we don't know that. It's just a game I'm not willing to play. If you're a person saying I'm eternally secure, so I'm gonna party down, that's a bad idea no matter how you shake it down. Better to have that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Instead of, you know, the argument sort of begs, how far can you go and still be saved without crossing the line? Do you realize what a dumb argument that is? We should be arguing, how holy can we be and falling in love with the Lord and doing what the shepherd wants us to do and going where the shepherd wants us to be? Forget Calvin and Jacobus Arminian thinking for a second and just say, man, follow Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul. It's like, problem solved. You don't have to worry about all the other stuff if you're just doing what the good shepherd wants us to do. Anyway, well, important stuff nonetheless. Well, you know, this is dividing the people, but notice what Jesus says now in verse 30. It says in verse 30, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Man, they're always wanting to kill this, you know, this guy who just healed the blind guy, the guy that healed all these people. Now, kill him! Like, this is crazy. Now, what made them mad? Just this one statement. Now, notice the word my there is in italics, which means it wasn't in the original. Jesus said literally, I and Father are one. Because my Father implies that there's two, but really, I, Father, one. Like, that's kind of what Jesus is saying here, which is why the Jews are so upset about this. Now, this is where it gets kind of complex, but let's keep reading verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now, this is where people say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Man, read John chapter 9, read John chapter 10. This is very clear what Jesus claimed, and that's why the Jews are wanting to kill him. But notice Jesus' argument, very scriptural. He says in verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him who the Father hath sanctified and sent to the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So Jesus he goes and he defends his claim in kind of an interesting way. In Psalm 82, verse 6, you'll see in your margin written there, Psalm 82, 6, linked to when he says, is it not written in your law? And he's quoting Psalm 82, 6. The word gods, little g, is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it's Elohim. And you're like, well, Brett, that sounds like God. But the word Elohim can be applied to God, but it's also applied to rulers, judges, God's representatives, or vice regents. If you rebel against them, you are rebelling against God, is kind of the idea. So Jesus is basically saying, can't the Messiah, the Christ, have this title, Elohim too? Jesus is using the scripture to defend himself, always a smart way to go about it. He's using the scripture the same way they were, paying attention to the smallest of detail. Like that's the way you and I can read the Bible. You can read the Bible really focusing on every little detail because the Bible, every word is inspired. So Jesus is talking about the single word, God, little g, Elohim. You guys say, if you read your Bible, like he's saying, you know, this is okay for me to use this word. Jesus used the smallest word utilizing the biblical inerrancy, and every word is God-breathed, and gives an argument for the absolute authority of the whole scripture. So Jesus is basically saying, I've got biblical backing to say what I've just said. By the way, will this satisfy their argument that, will they go, oh, you're right, man, we didn't think about that. Nobody actually really wants to listen to a good argument, but this was a really good argument that Jesus can say what he said and be perfectly within the law at the same time. But he was, in fact, claiming to be God in the flesh. Radical, radical stuff. Verse 39. Now, we go back, by the way, to the Jordan River. He's making his way north now from Jerusalem. This is where his ministry becomes more covert because they're so out to kill him by this time. Verse 39. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Verse 40. And went away again to beyond Jordan, to the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. So he's out in the wilderness, just kind of going low key, not hiding, but just hanging out in the wilderness by himself with the disciples. Well, verse 41, many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Man, don't you love that? I like the word resorted here, by the way. Are you looking for a way to get away this summer and have a time of resort? Problem, if you want to go to a real resort, like in Mexico, you might be dismembered. Have you seen all the dismembering that happens down at Cancun and Cabo? They found 5 more Americans that were all hacked up into pieces. So, you could go there for a vacation if you want. Or you could resort to Jesus. I think sometimes that we think we need a vacation, but I think actually what we need to do is spend more time with Jesus, seeking the Lord, not just to relax, but to just spend time with Christ, and there's a refreshing. People came all the way out there in the wilderness and they resorted to Jesus. And I love how they affirmed everything that John said about this guy. It's absolutely true. While the religious guys were denying and wanting to kill, the true sheep would say, no, we know the shepherd. We see him, we see what he does, we see what he says, he's our shepherd. And that's what these people are doing at the end of this chapter.
Pastor Brett Metter completing a verse-by-verse study of John chapter 10 with the affirming words that Jesus truly is the good shepherd leading his sheep into eternal security on today's Word. And Pastor Brett has planned to close us in prayer in just a moment, so I hope you'll stick around for that. But first, today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland, Oregon, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. Our vision is to proclaim the hope of salvation and help people know Jesus through the careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. And if you've missed any portion of this message, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. I also want to mention that if you'd like to share how Pastor Brett's messages have impacted you, we have a toll-free phone number we invite you to call and share your story. Here's the number, 1-877-772-1113. That's 877-772-1113. Or share your story at todayswordradio.com. Well, before we go, here again is Pastor Brett Metter with a brief word of prayer to end our time together.
Lord, we are thankful for your word. It's living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that we would be good sheep that would follow the good shepherd. Lord, I pray that we'd take a little internal temperature on how we're doing as sheep. Are we constantly going astray? Or are we hearing the voice of the shepherd and following? Lord, I pray that we would be people that are aware of not only that we know the shepherd, but the shepherd knows us, that we have a relationship. And if we claim to have that personal relationship, for us to wonder, when does that relationship become personal? I pray that we would resort to you in our prayer closet. As we're driving down the road, as we're by ourselves going to bed at night, I pray that our minds would be stayed upon you, that we'd worship and pray and read your word and just be good sheep following the good shepherd. Help us with that, Lord. When our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak, would you be our strength and pull us back in, I pray. So bless these your people who have taken time to go through this chapter. May it bring forth good fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter on today's Word. And that's all the time we have. Next time, we'll continue our verse-by-verse study of God's Word.
People say, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, but you need to join our church and tithe. And you need to, we have all these different requirements for a person to be saved, but that's not what Jesus said here. There's only one real answer of how you're saved. It's by Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way in, is through Jesus.
Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in Westland, Oregon.